Now, in our first conference today, I'd like to talk about the first of two of what we may rightly consider the greatest devotions to Our Lady. And being a Carmelite, I would talk about the scapular, and then I'll talk about the rosary later. Now, I'm not setting one above the other, because the rosary is a spoken devotion. The scapular is an unspoken devotion. It's like the cross that you're wearing. You're not aware of it all the time, but it's a witness. And when you put it on, it's a reaffirmation of your commitment to the Lord. So by wearing your brown scapular, you are saying, I belong to you, Heavenly Mother, as a child. You're the mother of God's people. I believe in your promise, and I hope to gain that promise. And that's what it is. And therefore, you're entitled to all that Our Lady promised. In other words, protection in this life, and at the end of life, and even after death. So, let's begin with some of the fundamentals. This devotion, the brown scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. First of all, the scapular is such that garment has been worn by the Benedictines and other religious earlier to that time. And what it was a kind of apron to protect part of their religious clothing. And it had a practical use. But the scapular is given to St. Simon Stock, and as you've seen on different religious, I think you've seen me wear the habit, it's a large piece of cloth extending from the shoulder to the ankle, in front and back. Now that is the kind of scapular that was given to St. Simon Stock by Our Lady, with the words, "Receive this garment, my beloved son. He who dies wearing it will never see eternal hell fire." Now those words have been analyzed by many theologians over these more than 700 years. That presumably was given in 1251 on an occasion that was critical to the existence of the Carmelite order. The Lateran Council was already in session. One of the topics being considered was the extinction or continuation of religious orders that could not prove their existence 200 years prior to that council. And among the ones for extinction were the Carmelites being considered. So when the scapular was given, there was such a flowering of devotion to Our Lady among all peoples. Kings, princes, nobles, all wore the scapular outside their clothing. And not the little piece that you wore, but the large segment. And were felt blessed and honored to be able to wear the scapular. We don't have documents from the very first year that it all happened. Unfortunately, there have been many wars, destruction of all kinds, libraries burnt and everything in the time of Henry VIII. We were told that also the Huguenot massacre in France and other places, 30 Years' War in Germany. Precious documents were used to wrap meat in the meat market. Illuminated manuscripts, just to show their contempt. That's what they did, besides burning them. So many precious documents were lost. But 100 years later, we find a flourishing devotion to Our Lady all over. Now that doesn't begin in a year. That goes back. How far back, at this moment, we can't establish by documents. Nevertheless, over these 700 years, that promise has challenged the theological acumen of theologians. What does it mean? Whoever dies wearing this will never see eternal hellfire. Certainly it does not mean that a person will say, oh, well, I have a guarantee of heaven, so I'll live the way I like, and when the last moment comes, I'll say, Blessed Mother, I claim your promise, but in the meantime, I'll live like a dog. Well, that is the sin of presumption. No way. That is abusing God's mercy as extended through Our Lady in this promise. And to correct that, Pope Pius XI wanted the word piously to be inserted in that promise. Whoever dies wearing this piously will never see eternal hellfire. Does it mean they'll never commit a mortal sin? No. See, through weakness, whatever, and accumulation of stress and temptation, and so on, a person could fall. But if they are sincere, as for example, suppose they are not in the state of grace, they want to, but there's no priest. How does this promise apply? Well, in the history of the scapular, we have examples where in the town of Ashtabula, Ohio, the early part of this century, a man was cut in two by a train. He remained alive for a period of 7 hours. The doctor in attendance could not explain how this was possible. He should have died within minutes. He wanted to see a priest. When the priest arrived, heard his confession, he died. He was wearing the scapular. We have other instances where people wanted to die through suicide. In fact, as a Jesuit, his name is Father, a French preacher in Paris, Father Millerieux, tells the story of a sinful woman to whom he was ministering. Out of fear and shame over her life, she decided to take her life, and she told him. He couldn't persuade her to change her mind, so he asked her to do one little thing, to wear the scapular. She promised to do that, but she went through with her decision to take her life, and she jumped into the Seine River. She was rescued. The next day, she jumped again and again, was unwillingly dragged from the river. A severe illness followed. As she lay wavering between life and death, still wearing the scapular, her heart was touched by grace, and she finally realized what a terrible sin she was committing. She repented, and the Jesuit priest went on to say she remained a devout, fervent client of Our Lady throughout the rest of her life. In Vienna, a parish priest there had great devotion to the Lord's Mother, and he said, Since I have given myself to propagate and spread the scapular in my parish, I have observed that no one dies without the sacraments. What a beautiful means of grace and conversion you and I have. Not only priests, but people. Because all of us can spread this devotion in a very easy way, simply by carrying the scapular with you, an extra one, when you visit somebody in the hospital. Ask them if they'd be willing to wear it. Tell them what it means. Any sick person would be glad to have it when you have a promise like that. And you'd give them a story of how sick people have been helped. And it's true. You're not just telling them a story or making it up. The former president of the country of Colombia in South America, his name is Francis Zaldia, was not living a Christian life, and even in his last illness gave no sign of conversion. His son, a newly ordained priest, said, Father, what human skill could do has been done for you. Do you want spiritual assistance? Please take this scapular. The dying man took the scapular, soon made his confession, and said that he wanted to die as son of Mother Church. Here in New York, a Carmelite chaplain, our Carmelites here in New York staff, the Bellevue Hospital, tells this story. On his first sick call to the ward, the nurse referred him to a patient in the ward When he asked the dying patient if he wanted to make his peace with God by confession, the man said, "I'm not a Catholic." Priest went back to the nurse and asked why she sent him to the patient. And she said, "Well, he's wearing the scapular, Father." So he returned to the patient and said, "If you're not a Catholic, why are you wearing the scapular?" And the man said, "Because some Catholic sisters who begged alms near our factory asked me to wear it." So the priest asked, "Well, would you like to be a Catholic?" To which the patient said, "Father, there's nothing I would like better." And newly baptized, he died several days later. Also, there are cases where the priest has gone into the wrong room and found that it was not the patient he was sent to, but it was a patient who wanted to go to confession. The patient was wearing the scapular. So there are many other stories that I can tell you. It's a sign of protection during life from physical danger. It's a fact we just celebrated, by the way. Was it last Saturday, St. Peter Claver? By the way, he baptized 300,000 Negro slaves in the city of Cartagena. In his ministry, he used the scapular as an instrument of God's providence in saving souls. In a picture depicting his life at the moment of his death, he's shown with a crucifix in his hand and a scapular on his breast, and around his bed, many Negroes with the scapular hanging around their necks, kissing his feet and hands. Saint Conrad, canonized by Pope Pius XI, faithfully distributed the scapular to all visitors at the Capuchin monastery, when he attended the door for 40 years. Remember Brother Andre? He understood the great meaning of Our Lady's promise to her children, and by placing as many as possible under her loving influence, he was helping to promote their eternal salvation. Epidemics of plague. In Provence, France, all the towns there were ravaged by disease. When the people of Marseille heard of it, they put their trust in Our Lady and her scapular. They were spared, and as a sign of thanksgiving, they set up a monument to Our Lady commemorating this favor. The same kind of epidemic struck the area of Anjou, France, and the doctors had no cure for the disease. People turned to Our Lady and her scapular. The mortality rate stopped. Drought. Spain was parched with a long drought. In desperation, the people turned to Our Lady, carried her scapular in procession. The rain fell in abundance. There was a great harvest. Storms. The plains of Savoy and Sardinia were being threatened by a terrible windstorm, lightning, and hail. Again, the people turned to Our Lady and her scapular, and there was a quick let-up in the storm. Fire. In 1656, the town of Saint-Olay, France, a mission was in progress, and the missionary priest related the following story to the celebrated French writer Father Lejeune. At 10 p.m., a house burst into flame. One of the missionaries recalling that a similar fire 20 years ago in the town of Perigueux was subdued when the scapular was thrown into the fire, called a devout young man to him and he said, "Take your scapular, throw it into the fire, and we'll see that the fire will be extinguished through Our Lady's power, through her garment." So the young man ran towards the fire and said to the crowd, "Pray to the Blessed Virgin, I'm going to put out the fire." He threw the little scapular into the flames, and the people saw the fire rise like a whirlwind and then very slowly fall and finally die out. Flood. In Holland, the superior of the Carmelite monastery at the time of Roveredo in 1647 threw a scapular into the rising waters that already killed the cattle, several people, but when the scapular hit the water, it began to recede. A storm at sea. 1845, A Protestant minister's name was James Fisher, and his family were sailing for Australia. 500 miles west of Cape Agulhas, a fierce tornado struck and a furious sea with tremendous waves lashed the ship. While passengers prayed below decks, the crew lashed themselves to the upper part of the ship. They could do nothing to prevent the ship from being battered to pieces. The minister came on deck and asked everyone to pray for God's mercy and forgiveness. And as they prayed, a young Irish sailor, his name was John McAuliffe, took off his brown scapular, made a sign of the cross with it, threw it into the ocean. The fury of the storm soon abated, and then a small wave washed the scapular back on board, near the Irish sailor. The only ones to notice this event were the minister and his family, and with deep reverence they approached him and asked the meaning of the initials BVM, Blessed Virgin Mary, and the cloth. After being told, they promised to join the faith that had such a powerful protector and advocate. On landing at Sydney, Australia, they went to a small chapel of St. Mary and were received into the church by a Father Paulding, who later became the Archbishop of Sydney. St. John Bosco was buried wearing the brown scapular in 1888, and when his body was examined again in 1929, under the decayed garments and the remains of this great apostle, they found the scapular in perfect condition. They also found that too in St. Alphonsus Liguori. Pope Leo XIII, when he was dying. They were changing his garments and they wanted to take his scapular off. And he said, "No, leave me, Mary, lest Mary leave me." How about that? Now, from all this, we can conclude that our Blessed Mother promises to watch over her children, not only at the hour of death, but all during their life, and to protect them from natural harm and danger, as well as from spiritual dangers of temptations, and even from the subtle traps of Satan. Remember, the spirit of evil has plans for us, just as God has, but God knows his plans. So when he sees the scapular, then he knows he'd better be careful, because he's dealing with Our Lady, who crushes him and has the power to do so. In the life of St. John Vianney, the pastor of pastors in throughout the world, a young lady came to him once, and there had been a dance. Not that he approved it. In those days, it was considered sinful, and today, too, in a number of ways. But not that all dances are. Nevertheless, in the course of conversation with him, she was talking about a young man that night who danced with everyone except her. And she wondered why. And so he said, "Did you notice a blue flame at the bottom of his feet?" And she said, "No." She said, "The reason he didn't dance with you was that he was the devil and you were wearing a scapular." Now, this is in a world that out there, they'll never believe that, you see. But we do believe in a supernatural world and a world of evil, the spirit of evil. And so these devotions that have been given to us are very precious, and we neglect them to our harm. Our Lady did say at Medjugorje, the spirit of evil is going to be more violent in this last years of this century. Therefore, to protect yourself with visible signs of your Christian commitment, wear religious medals, protect your person. In your home, have crucifixes, have sacred images, in all the rooms to indicate that this home belongs to the Lord. Well, the enrollment. Most of you, I would assume, were enrolled at your first communion. Can I ask here today, is there anybody here that was never enrolled in the Brown Scapular? Would you raise your hand? You never were enrolled, that you can remember. I see 1, 2, 3, 4 hands. All right, they will gladly do that just before the Mass. All right? And we do have scapulars on the table for you. Now, the enrollment has been very simplified. All that is necessary today is, first of all, the first scapular, the cloth scapular, must be blessed by a priest or maybe a deacon. And to be enrolled, you hold one part of the scapular and the one who enrolls you, the priest or the deacon, and together you say a prayer to Our Lady, very simply a Hail Mary. And then you put it on and you are enrolled for life. Thereafter, if your scapular wears out, which it will, get another one and put it on. It does not have to be blessed. If you choose to wear a scapular medal, the scapular medal must have the image of Christ on one side and Our Lady on the other. Usually it has Our Lady of Mount Carmel. But to be a scapular medal, all you have to have is the image of Christ on one side and Our Lady on the other. That must be blessed each time. If you break it or lose it or whatever, then you must have it blessed. And if you want to have an extra, I wear a medal and a scapular, so that if I shower or swim, I wear the medal. That way the brown cloth is not deteriorating in any way, but eventually it will, but it lasts longer. And if you choose, have an old scapular that you might feel like throwing away, but it will last. Wear it when you shower, take it off and put on your better scapular throughout the day. But always wear it, not in your purse, not pinned to your slip or whatever. It must be around your neck, in front and back, is the way it should be worn. Now, white strings, I guess, are preferable to you, and if you don't want the strings to be that obvious. And the brown cloth, well, if you wish and you don't want to be too obvious, sew a little linen pocket around it. But why be ashamed to let others know that you're wearing it? All the young people today are wearing all kinds of queer things, and they're not ashamed. They put us to shame at their openness and willingness to be committed to what? So many kooky things, and these haircuts they wear, and whatever. I don't go along with that, but I do admire their willingness to be different. See? A person like that, if they were Christian, could be very zealous. But their zeal is misdirected. Okay? Now, let me finish. There's much more to say. The prayer that St. Simon Stock said is a prayer that all Carmelites say, and especially on the feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And the prayer is, O beautiful flower of Carmel, most fruitful vine, holy and singular, who brought forth the Son of God, still or ever remaining a pure virgin, O star of the sea, help and protect us, show us that you are our mother. Now that's the prayer he said. And he had said that many times. On this particular evening when he said it, Our Lady appeared to him and gave him this brown scapular. And that is the prayer, then, that we have said, and we used to say it after Mass, but because of the new liturgy, and rightly so, have removed all incrustations so that we have the Mass itself, and we're not surrounding it with too many things that can have some other time to be said, like the rosary and so on. can be said at another time, but the Mass is the Mass, and we shouldn't detract from it. Now, as for an apostolate, if it's true about what we said, Our Lady's promise and how she backs it up, then you should not disregard that promise. I can say that there's no other devotion, including the rosary, that has such a promise attached to it. Our Lady has verbally said, whoever dies wearing this will never see eternal hellfire. I don't remember in any revelations regarding the rosary that Our Lady has said that, although in the history of the rosary, it's verified that whoever says the rosary is in the special protection of Our Lady, and we'll say much about that later. But for yourself, your devotion to Our Lady and your commitment, say, through the scapular, first of all, it does mean that you believe in that promise, you believe in her protection, you claim it, and as long as you wear it, and wear it devoutly, in other words, you don't abuse it, like some person who would say, well, I'm free to do whatever I like, and the promise still holds. No, that's abusing God's mercy and Our Lady's promise. It means that if you are sincere, but in spite of weakness and whatever, fall into sin, Our Lady will see to it that you will either have a priest, or you'll have the grace to be sorry, and God will forgive it, or in some way she will see to it that you'll get back in the state of grace. Now, it can mean something more, but that is something that you are free to choose. In other words, not only a belief in the promise, but it means further that you consecrate yourself to Our Lady in a special way, like I spoke last month, but that was last June, on the complete consecration of our life to Our Lady, okay? And the scapular can be the sign of it. And also, the mother-child relationship. Grinier de Montfort, who talked about the true devotion, spoke of a slavery. Well, in the United States, the word slavery has a bad meaning. Spiritually, though, it means a complete dependence. A better word, though, in our time, is mother and child. You mothers know how dependent that little six-month-old baby is on you. Well, that's what our relationship to our Lord and our Lady, to God, is. We are a child, completely in need of God. And Mary, as mother, has that relationship. So we're committed to her in that way. The only thing is, for us to adopt this consecration, it's a matter of free will. You can take it or leave it. But it would mean that you place everything in the hands of Our Lady, not to be kept by her only, but to be preserved and to be given to Jesus. Now, I don't know of a better way to commit our life to a safe preservation than that. In other words, Our Lady will not keep it for herself. She will increase what we give to her, because given by her to the Lord, far better than we giving it personally, because of her position as mother to the Son, Jesus, and because of her prerogative as the mother of God's people, queen of heaven and earth. Whatever she gives carries with it that honor. And so that's what that means. So a complete devotion, then, consecration, would mean we place our body, our soul, all that we have spiritually, all the merits that we have, all that we do, in her hands, to be preserved, to be given to the Lord, and to be used for the best purposes. In other words, doesn't prevent us from asking, but whatever we give to her can be used for souls, for their salvation, for countless purposes that are far better than anything we could think of. And so our whole life, and all the good that we do, in the little tasks that we do each day, committed to the Lord, they're good in themselves, but consecrated in this way, they are sanctified. And used in this way, bring about the greatest good. So in this way, giving it to Our Lady, as Mother of God's people, she knows how to help your family, others in your circle of friends and whatever, and for the people of God throughout the world, for the dying. Do you know who needs God's grace most today? I don't think any of us do, but Our Lady does in her position as the Mother of God's people. And so this devotion then, and the scapular is a sign of it, is a beautiful way to commit yourself to Our Lady and through her to Jesus. The Carmelites, and a Carmelite in the 14th century, had created a beautiful expression. And the word is, keep Mary in mind, and Jesus will grow in your heart. Now, you can turn that into a prayer by saying, Dear Blessed Mother, as I keep you in mind, may Jesus grow in my heart. Now, that's a beautiful way to tie mother and son together. See, we should never separate the two. In life, as Jesus lived, they were never separated spiritually, although Jesus traveled around, his mother wasn't with him. But spiritually, she was united with him, supporting him, praying for him, suffering with him, and so on. So we should never separate them in our life. Now, I do have copies of the True Devotion on the book table. Some of you asked for it, and so on your request, I have more copies too later on, but they are available. And I ask you to read that if you wish. It's a classic. The Last Eight Pontiffs. I'm not sure about John Paul II, but I believe all the pontiffs before that, at least five that I know of, had read that book, admired it, used it, and Pope Pius XI used it as his bedside book and had made the consecration. And others, other pontiffs too, I believe possibly Pope Leo XIII. And it is a great classic, and it is one of the best explanations of this, what we call true devotion to Our Lady, the consecration. Now, for yourself, regarding an apostolate, I would say one of the best things you can do is to ensure that you have extra scapulars for your family and always carry one in your purse for any occasion that you may be called to. When you go to a hospital or you're visiting somebody, some aged person in a home or the home for the aged, ask them to wear the scapular. And if they're not enrolled, see if there's a priest who is there, have the scapular blessed, and see if they can't be enrolled that way. And tell the priest, it can be done very simply. No certificates have to be signed, no names written down. All they have to do is be enrolled, and once they're enrolled, it's good for life. And if they have been enrolled but they're not wearing it, well, simply give it to them and have them put it on. Now, in 1917, October 13th, I believe, I may be wrong on the date, but the last vision of Our Lady to the children at Fatima was an unspoken vision, but it's depicted in the Blue Army and in many pictures of the Fatima message. In that picture, Our Lady appeared over the world like a big orb, standing over it, and she was dressed as Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And in both of her hands, in one hand she held the rosary, and the other hand she held the scapular. Now, why did she hold it above the world and holding it out, as if not to say, my children, if you want to honor me, this is a way to honor me. Wear the scapular, say the rosary, to fulfill my promise to bring peace to the world, the conversion of Russia. Well, I'd like to say I rest my case. Now, any questions? One of you had a hand up there before, and perhaps I've answered your question already. Jill?
Did you say anyone can enroll in this?
No. a priest or a deacon. And it was said before that lay Carmelites who are professed could do that. But now that has to be checked again. I believe there's been a revision of that statement. But at present, and I would say it's safe to say that a priest or a deacon can enroll you. And your cloth scapular must be blessed by them. That's only the first one. Thereafter, any scapular can be put on. This lady here had her hand up. That's the Blue Army supporting the message of Our Lady of Fatima. Yes. The brown, there isn't a brown army. It's called the Scapular Confraternity of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. That includes everybody enrolled in the brown scapular. There are millions. Yes, well now the Blue Army does promote the scapular, the brown scapular, of course. Yes. Here?
What's the difference between the five scapular and the brown?
Well, there are five scapulars. There's a black, brown, green, red, and blue, possibly. And there's a meaning for each one, and I'm not sure I know them all. But the brown scapular is the most prominent. No, in the course of the history of the church, as you know, there were persecutions. And when the Protestant Reformation began, with Luther, with the Huguenots in France, there were terrible massacres. And everything was destroyed. The Catholics and the Huguenots, it was political, but it had religious overtones, of course. And they would destroy the Catholics in the town, everybody, religious, priests, and people. And then the Catholics would destroy the Huguenots. And they'd have fires. And of course, when you burned a monastery down, you burned everything. That meant the library and so forth. And in England, under Henry VIII, there was another persecution. Henry VIII destroyed monasteries, took the sacred vessels, melted them down, and sold them off and used it. And under Cromwell, there were fires and things were burned in protest against what Catholics stood for. So all through Europe, you had persecutions of that kind. That meant precious documents, too, were lost forever.
When did St. Simon stop?
1251.
He was in 1251 at that time?
That's when the scapular presumably was given. Anyone else? Yes? Well, if you've been enrolled, all you do is get a scapular, we have it on the table, and put it on. But if you choose to wear a medal, I don't have medals, you buy one and have it blessed and then wear that. Yes? No. Sadly, people who are making their First Communion today, a number of parishes, are not being enrolled because after Vatican II, somehow the custom was discontinued. But it can be revived, and the parish and town where I'm at has been revived. And the pastor came to me and asked me about the procedure. But you parents, remind the pastor. Ask him to revive it. And pastors are doing it. Yes. If you're not sure, we can always, it only takes us a few seconds. Yes. Any other question? Our Lady said, whoever dies wearing it. Wearing it doesn't mean having it in your purse. You're not wearing it. and having it over your bedpost like some children do, or having it hanging on the wall. That's not wearing it.
And what happens if you wore it for a while and then didn't when you die?
Well, get back to the habit of wearing it. Put it on.
But I remember my husband was wearing it for a while, but I don't think he had it on when he died.
Well, we'll just leave that to the mercy of God. Yes.
So,
see, there's a difference. The scapular is made of two pieces.
Yes.
And the metal is only, but the metal has a front and back, and so you're wearing it that way. Yeah, but you don't wear that all the time.
I do.
At night?
Yeah, not at night.
So you should wear it all the time when you're sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I know some women do wear it in the bra and so forth. It's a way to hide it in a way, but why hide it? Well, wear a scapular metal.
I have a miraculous.
Well, a scapular metal has the promise attached to it. Well, wear the both. Mr. T, you remember that man in the movies? He's wearing all kinds of gold chains. He's so loaded down, he can hardly walk. He's proud of his gold. Well, why shouldn't we be proud of the gold in the scapular? The spiritual gold. Yes. Yes, so that's the scapular of Our Lady of Mercy, I believe. I don't know the story of each of them. There are some books, booklets on that would explain the five scapulars. Yes, I've seen it, and in fact, I have one somewhere. Yes, it's brought about conversion, the green scapular.
Also healing, like the story that's written on the green on the paper. It says that someone in the hospital was healed.
Uh huh.
So it's sort of like to show that it has power, that it's for healing.
Right. Any other question?
Yeah. What does it look like, the one that's metal? What is, do we have a sample?
Yes.
What it looks like?
I just happen to have one in my pocket. If you'll come up here, I'll show you. It has the Sacred Heart on one side and Our Lady of Mount Carmel on the other. And it says so.
Oh.
See?
Then what I was thinking.
The Virgin of Carmel.
See? Oh.
Right.
Then you have so many sorts of scapulars.
But
so
now
I
these.
I don't want this.
Did you get one?
Yeah, but now I got the one with the course.
Oh,
I see. What about the
It has Our Lady on one side and the Lord on the other.
Yes.
Doesn't have to be Our Lady of Mount Carmel, but if it is Our Lady, that constitutes a scapular medal. Okay?
What about the one where Our Lady stands like this?
That's miraculous.
That's a miraculous medal.
That's another.
That's the miraculous medal.
Mm-hmm.
No. Do 1,000 different things. Well, we do have an image of the shroud face and the living face now in one frame. See, we've had it for some time. Most people here know that. Now, that's a good image to use. Yes. Yes?
I have a question and a comment. I'll give you the comment first, I'll give you the question. I first got into centering through it. I had high blood pressure and on. An article in Catholic Digest recommended that if you tried all the medication, nothing works, try meditation twice a day. And so I did, and I found I was feeling much more relaxed, especially after I had a tense period. And I usually, you know, would try it before lunch and before dinner. And so that's, then when Father starts to give a series on centering prayer, I tried to coordinate the